Welcome to another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. I'm Jim Palmer, the host. I'm the Dream Business Coach. I am here to help you build a more profitable business faster. This is the podcast to learn about how to create your dream business so you too can live your dream lifestyle. I'm the founder and creator of the Dream Business Academy and the Dream Business Coaching and Mastermind Program, and I coach entrepreneurs and small business owners how to achieve a business that will support their lifestyle. Today's episode is brought to you by Dream Business Academy. That is my three-day event. It's a live event. My next one's taking place in Orlando, Florida, February 8th, 9th, and 10th. That's coming up. This is a marketing and business building event, pretty much unlike anything else. It's a pitch-free zone. There's no fluff. It's 3 days of content in hot seats. You'll learn exactly how to build a million-dollar platform, which is how I built my dream business. You learn more at dreambizacademy.com, dreambizacademy.com. If you want to register, I think we're down to about 14 or 15 seats. You can use the coupon code PODCAST when you check out, and that'll take $100 off your registration. Again, that's dreambizacademy.com. I am really excited about this week's show. My special guest is Mark Sears. He is the founder and creator of Cloud Factory. Let me introduce Mark, and we'll bring him right on. Mark Sears, as I said, is the founder and CEO of Cloud Factory, a rapidly growing startup focused on changing how the world works by using technology to make it super easy for startups and fast-growing tech companies to scale up by offloading routine digital work so they can focus on innovation and growth. Cloud Factory believes that talent is equally distributed around the world, but opportunity is not. Their mission is to create meaningful work for 1 million people in the developing world, which I think is so cool. Mark, how are you doing today?
Jim, I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I'm really excited to have you on the program. You know, I just think the way that however many billions of people are on the planet, the way we're so interconnected by technology, I mean, it's amazing. I've used certainly writers, some web developers and things like that in countries I can barely pronounce, and the work is great. And, you know, so I'd love to I want to learn more about Cloud Factory, but I always like to learn a little bit more about who I'm talking to and your entrepreneurial journey. Is this your first venture, or tell me when you got bit by the entrepreneurial bug?
Yeah, I think like a lot of entrepreneurs, it's definitely been pieces of it since I was a child and saw that come out, and, you know, trying to run multiple paper routes and starting lots of different student businesses. And so, yeah, I've always had the bug, but my tool was a computer scientist, so software entrepreneur, getting an opportunity to work with a lot of other entrepreneurs in different startups in the U.S. and Canada, and I had that chance to run a business for a while before I ended up finding my way in a very weird way to Nepal and starting up Cloud Factory. So yeah, it's been a pretty constant thread of trying to create value through business, I guess you'd say.
Pretty cool. Now, are you from Canada originally, or?
I am Canadian. I'm a proud Canadian. Yeah, I haven't lived there for 10 years probably, but yeah.
Well, you just let an about slip out. I've got two of my own team members in Canada, and I caught that very quickly.
There'll be a few more. There will be a few more. It's been 10 years,
okay.
But that's still going to seep through.
I'm originally from New England. I no longer park my car, but once in a while I let some sort of a phrase slip out. But so let's talk about the Cloud Factory. You know, it's, as I said, there's everybody from startups, and I think really, correct me if I'm wrong, you're really strong with fast-growing tech companies. And when a company is new and it's starting up, they do have a need once they quickly outgrow the availability of the founders. Talent, but they need to get things done. So where do people turn without having the need to, you know, bring on an $80,000 or $100,000, you know, another tech person? So is that why you started Cloud Factory?
Well, I mean, I think it really was, because I mean, I in my different roles and businesses had always, you know, everyone's trying to find a better way to get work done, right? And so you're always looking through freelancers and contractors and employees and consultants and interns and you name it. I mean, Fundamentally, a business is people, and obviously more and more technology and automation as well. And so really understanding how to put it all together, right? How do you really power a business, especially going from kind of a small startup stage to that scale mode? I mean, it requires really figuring out the right way to get what we focus on as routine repetitive work. And that was kind of the key thing is, it's the work that you can't automate, but you also, can't quite do in-house. It doesn't really make sense. It's kind of a distraction from your core business, your strategic core work you need to get done. And so people try outsourcing and offshoring and hiring through freelance marketplaces and getting interns to do it. Again, there's just so many different ways to try and get this work done. It feels pretty routine, repetitive, like it should be able to be easy. But actually getting it done, especially when it powers kind of your core mission critical business processes, it's actually, we found, really hard. And so that's what we've been working is using a team of 50 plus engineers for since 2010, and we've got 2,500 super talented people in places like Nepal and Kenya, so Asia and Africa, that are kind of these tier three locations with super smart people that are now they're connected to the world via the internet. They are motivated, they're intelligent, they're speak and write English, they are ready to contribute to the global economy. But we just realized the world is not quite as flat as we all think. It's getting there, right? It's getting there, but there's a lot of technology and culture and process stuff to really pull together to get routine repetitive work done in any business.
So I think you're probably heavy in the tech industry, which certainly explains Nepal. I mean, isn't that like a hotbed of tech, really smart tech people? I mean, did you just kind of know that, or were you familiar with Nepal, or how did you kind of settle in on there? It's not like saying, hey, I'm going to go to Detroit and find some people.
No, it was. I wish I was that smart. I totally stumbled into it. It was a 2-week vacation in 2008 where me and my wife just really, we wanted to travel before we had kids, and one of those places on our list was Nepal, and so we got the chance to go there, and we met some computer engineers that were super talented, and next thing I know, I ended up doing some training on Ruby on Rails and got a second project, and we ended up extending the trip, and 2 weeks turned into 6 years and Cloud Factory. So we did discover that Nepal is filled with extremely talented people and a lot of great computer engineers, somewhat related to I often think of Canada and US very similar to Nepal and India, right? So obviously the influence of India and the great IT boom there has influenced Nepal as well. And so, it was definitely more accidental.
Wow. I mean, this economy, I guess, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a bigger word than economy, but the whole world economy has really become quite an on-demand economy.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why companies like Cloud Factory and there's probably some others that do this. That's probably why your companies are doing so well, because if a startup especially suddenly lands a major client or some kind of a way that they're going to really spiral up in a big way, how do they even find and train and hire all those people? I'm guessing that's why you've had so much success, is they go to a company like Cloud Factory who really has the team in place. Am I stating that correctly?
Yep. Yeah, bang on. The team, the process, the technology, the tools, everything is, it is. It's hard to do it, and to do it at scale 24/7 and to do it really well. That's what we love is, on demand. Like you said, it's a one-click economy. Everyone wants to click a button and have an Uber or Lyft show up, and it's seeping into the enterprise, into the business as well, where we want to be able to spin up new teams and new projects really quickly, and so that's really what we've been building at Cloud Factory, is the ability to come to our site and actually spin up what we call a work stream, and that's a remote team and tools, online tools, everything you need to begin getting new data projects done, new business process work spun up, so really combining that. The perfect of human and machine intelligence, right? People and technology. That's that's where we've been.
What does the process look like if somebody was to reach out to Cloud Factory? Do they get like a project manager, or somebody to help this determine what their exact needs are? And then it's hard. You know what? It's hard for people, especially entrepreneurs on the smaller end of the scale, to figure out suddenly spiraling up to having a team of 100 or 50 or 200 very quickly.
Yeah,
so it's hard to comprehend sometimes. So what would that process actually look like?
That's right. Yeah. So it is hard to comprehend, but it's very powerful and it's very easy and it's very fast. So it literally is. I mean, you know, cloudfactory.com's got a big button, you know, get started or start a work stream, and you click that and you basically start engaging directly via real-time chat with one of our solution specialists or solution architects. And they really help to understand exactly what is the routine repetitive work, the data work that you need to get done. Maybe exchange some samples back and forth, examples, what you're looking for, what you need to get done. And we kind of go through that whole process there online. It's kind of five steps that, you know, sometimes happens in minutes or hours, sometimes takes a few days. And then you select the skills that you need for your workforce, et cetera, and then you instantly spin up a team. So we help in actually selecting and forming that team. We've got a large pool already available that's been vetted, trained, oriented, and has often been managed working on other projects, and they get formed. Really what you're doing is subscribing to a block of hours. So each work stream can be anything from 200 hours is kind of our entry point, all the way up to over 10,000 hours for some of our larger clients. And you're subscribing to that block of hours, and you get access to a team where you're sending work back and forth. You can send it back. You can use spreadsheets. You can use our API to send work automatically over the internet between, you know, software systems. You can have our team log into your tools, your platform. Lots of different ways to really leverage this remote team, but it's very easy and very fast. A lot of clients are having their kickoff call within 1 or 2 days of initially clicking that start a work stream button.
I'm getting the sense, Mark, that Cloud Factory is not, And I know you'll agree with this, and pardon me if it sounds insulting, you're not Fiverr, you're probably not even like Elance or Workforce or some of these others. It sounds like when people need, is it more team-based, right? So am I right?
Yep.
If somebody needs like a transcript done and that's it, that you're probably not the place to go. Is that fair?
That's right. Yeah,
okay.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good – yeah, so that's definitely our world, right? I mean, online work is just – it's beautiful right now what you can get done. And we've got great partners like Andela who can help you spin up development teams. You know, we're big fans of companies like Upwork where you can find freelancers and you know, get one-off projects or one-off freelancers. But, yeah, when you need a team of people, what a workforce. A workforce can be, again, 200 hours is like 1.5 people. Right, so kind of 1.5 equivalent full time, or literally, if you need hundreds, or even thousands, we've done for clients. We help spin that up and use our technology and process to ensure productivity and quality of work and service level agreements and definitely it's a perfect kind of combination of frictionless online tools to do it very easily and very quickly, but also kind of a white glove enterprise grade service. And that's really what our clients have loved, especially, like you said, a lot of venture backed startups, a majority of our clients that are growing fast, they're looking for a better way to get this work done. And everything else has really just felt kind of kludgy and slow. And, the traditional outsourcing industry is definitely a little behind.
Wow. Did you so you're the founder and CEO. Did you have a big team help you start Cloud Factory, or are you the driving force there?
We definitely had a large team. We've got an executive team now of about 7 of us that are between our U.S., our Nepal, and our Kenya offices. We've got about 175 full-time employees. that are kind of building and staffing Cloud Factory. So yeah, we've got a big team, and we definitely, yeah, it was really me starting initially with those three engineers and, you know, hiring more engineers and building out the team. So that we started small, and we're scaling pretty big right now. That's for sure.
That's exciting. When you say 175 employees, does that include, is that the workforce, or is that employees that are running Cloud Factory, and then you also have probably hundreds of other people that make up the team, so to speak? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No. So the 175 are our core full time team. That's like you said, you know, building and managing Cloud Factory, and then actually staffing and doing the work for our clients is a workforce of about 2,500. And so
wow.
those are, you know, some work more, some work less. But yeah, that's kind of our overall team. We call it our core team and our cloud team. We all work together very closely.
Oh, there you go.
We all play a role. But yeah.
Well, you said it more eloquently, but I knew what I was asking, so we got there in the end. Why is it important for startups to kind of, I know you help people kind of define or maybe even refine their why. Because that's kind of very much like a mission-based thing. Is that part of what you do? It's not just the work, it's helping people actually kind of make a company that's worth growing?
Well, I think it's mostly because the why and the mission and the purpose has been so important for Cloud Factory, right? From day one of, you know, a 2-week trip to a developing country like Nepal, you know, deciding for us to move and to live there and to have kids, you know, raise our kids there, and you know, I mean, like we've been driven by this idea that, yes, that talent is equally distributed, opportunity is not. And we can use technology to really unlock that and to connect and give people opportunities that really need and deserve them. And we can do that in a way that unlocks new talent pools and hotspots for growing companies. And so, yeah, all of that has been a really big purpose and why for us. So our big, hairy, audacious goal is to create work for 1 million people. We want to create meaningful work, you know, not just a paycheck, right, but actually something where people are growing, they're learning, they're developing friendships and relationships, and, you know, just all the good things that come from work. And so as we think about our purpose, our why, that's really what drives us as a company. And so we love to be a part of both challenging and contributing to the why of our clients and to other startups. So, you know, we are an extension of our clients. We are their workforce. And so, you know, we had our cloud workers over the last 4 years have gone out, and they're all organized in teams of five, and they go out to do community service projects. And we've done about 4,800 community service projects. Right.
Wow.
I mean, just a huge amount of, you know, most of our cloud workers are 18 to 30 years old. They're highly motivated. We've been through two crazy earthquakes in Nepal. You know, I mean, we've been through so much, and it's a beautiful thing. I mean, that's what we love. We're passionate about work. Right. We think work is great. It's meaningful. It is so much that can come from that. And so we love to partner with our clients to help them understand, right, that when done intentionally, it's what we call, and others are calling, impact sourcing. Right? You can actually make an impact through partnering and you know, sending your work in a responsible, meaningful way. And so, yeah, so we like to be a part of why. We love to encourage other – I love to personally encourage other entrepreneurs to really think about why are you doing why you're doing, right? Like really just peeling back the layers of the onion. And I think it's a constant process that we all do. So yeah, something I'm personally passionate about, something that I think we like to participate with our clients, and then something obviously as a company that we, you know, try and keep at the center of what we're doing and why we're growing.
Wow. What kind of cultural things have you had to either learn or overcome? I mean, working in either Canada or, you know, the United States, that's pretty similar, I would say. But, you know, going to Nepal or Kenya.
Yeah.
I mean, what, there must be a lot of different things that people just view. You know, I remember when I was in my 20s, I worked in the bicycle business, and we sold French bicycles. And I'll never, I think they still do it. Doesn't France take the entire month of August on vacation, like the whole country or something? I don't know if they still do that, but there's things like that. Like, what do you mean I can't order? Well, they're how long? They're off for August, you know? I mean, there must be things like that make it difficult. Not to mention, probably the easiest one to talk about is the time difference, but what are some of the major things you've had to either train or learn yourself to be this multi-cultural workforce?
I mean, it's one of the biggest challenges. I mean, in general, proximity is becoming less and less important because of technology. And it feels like technology and the ability to work remotely, all of that it's shrinking the distance between everyone on the planet. But what's remaining really is the people issues. And so there's no question that, I mean, our core values, our six core values, one of the big important ones is cultural intelligence. And so we spend a lot of time thinking and learning about this because it's a reality of a flat world, it's a reality of Cloud Factory and our business. So, I mean, one I would say was, we spent a lot of time building up our workforce model in Nepal. That's where we originated, and when we, started with 25 workers, we put them in teams of five, and they actually work remotely on the most part. But they come in once a week, and they meet in teams of five every week. And so we developed this model, and then as we expanded into Asia, part of that was to get better 24/7 coverage, sorry, into Africa, to get better 24/7 coverage, get some different skill sets. That was when it really hit us of, wow, we need to adjust our model because there's some fundamental things. Like we're in Nairobi, Kenya. The traffic is ridiculous. I mean, we get worried in certain places here in the U.S., but I mean, the traffic there is legendary. I don't think it's quite up to Cairo, Egypt, but I know it's bad. And so the idea of people meeting becomes really hard. And so all of a sudden, our teams were not finding it as easy to meet. And so we've definitely. Obviously, the typical differences of just sense of timeliness, right? Being on time is valued a little bit more in different countries and cultures. There is the reality of time zones. We have to block out midnight to 6 a.m. In terms of not having meetings in that window. But other than that, it has to be fair game because of the time zone difference. So all of many, I could go on and on. Cultural intelligence, hugely important for us.
What have you learned in the last few years about spiraling up a country or country a company quickly that you can share with our listeners? And again, most of the people that listen to this show are small business owners, but going from 0 or 2 employees to a couple hundred is probably a thought that's like probably scary to most people.
It is. It's scary to me. I was always like 12 people. A company of about 12, 16 people, you can kind of manage that yourself. So, it is. There's these very natural stages that occur, and I've seen recently some people call it the Death Valley. There's a series of death valleys, right? Kind of between these, kind of 2 to 10 people, and these kind of natural places where you have to have different processes, different organizational design and leadership and all these different things to kind of get to these different stages. And so I would say that we did not, do it quite by the book, but we definitely experienced that. And I think for me, probably the biggest thing that the biggest skill, I mean, I took a business minor in college, and I mean, I never really paid a difference. I had an organizational behavior or development course, and man, I wish I had paid more attention because that's probably one of the biggest skills is just really understanding how do you continue to evolve and organize yourselves as a team to best meet the needs of the market and your clients, right? How do you constantly, you always hear about big companies doing reorgs, right? Which usually means like layoffs, but as a small company growing, you have to be constantly reorganizing and redesigning and thinking about how to, cross-functionally organize to really accomplish the purposes of the company. And so that's probably, I think, the biggest surprise and the biggest, I think maybe even like a skill that I would encourage a lot of people that are going through a season of growth in a company is to not take that lightly, because it's so easy to try and stay organized the same way and just keep growing. And there's absolutely different stages and structures that are required as an organization.
That's something. Yeah, well, you know, we all have regrets about what we should have paid attention to in school. When I was in high school in the early 70s, I just paid no attention to typing class. And here, I wish I did, because I've written 6 books by the Hunt and Peck method. So anyway, Mark, it's been really, really a high-level conversation. I appreciate it. It's really interesting what you're doing. I know that this is more than just work and jobs. I know you've got kind of a new economy, a way of helping lift people out of poverty by providing jobs, which the jobs are provided to help other companies add value. So it's kind of this whole, you know, circular thing. It's pretty cool. I'm sure we just scratched the surface. So where can people learn more about Cloud Factory and possibly connect with you if they have any questions?
Yeah, well, I'd love to talk to anyone. I'll go ahead, and my email is just mark@cloudfactory.com. I'd love if anyone has any more questions or thoughts or ways that they could maybe leverage Cloud Factory, feel free to hit me up directly. Otherwise, cloudfactory.com obviously has a ton of information and the ability to just start engaging and spinning up a work stream and really just understanding how your small business can really leverage thousands of talented people on the other end of a browser. There's so many different things that we're doing for companies. And I think working smarter is really important, and thinking about how to grow and scale in smarter ways. And so, yeah, hopefully that's something that you can learn about on the website or email me directly.
Very cool. Mark, thank you so much for being my guest this week. I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, folks, that wraps up this special edition of Stick Like Glue Radio. I'd like to thank our sponsor, Dream Business Academy, for sponsoring the show. Once again, you get $100 off your registration using the coupon code PODCAST at checkout at dreambizacademy.com, dreambizacademy.com. Thank you to my editors, my assistants, all the Dream team members that keep me going here every day. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.